you, band. Thank you for your obedience. You sang my sermon. In his absence, I just want to say thank you to Gert for his our themes for the year, for those of you who are new, is intimacy, community, and mission. Intimacy with God, growing in intimacy with God, community, growing in an understanding and application of the real community we have with one another, and then the mission that we have in life. So that's the mission template. We're in missions month now. March is missions month, not because it's with an M, but because it's third month. It was intimacy, then community, then mission, and we're going to repeat the cycle. So next month will be intimacy again, and we're going to do that until the end of the year, so we can go deeper and deeper, and like layers of an onion, explore what is in each one of these. And as an onion does, it would inevitably make you quite teary as you encounter God on each new level. So yeah, that looks really cool. That's one of our mission templates. And then just run through the others. Just want to show you that's intimacy and community. So we'll use that whenever we are preaching or speaking about stuff that's aligned to the mission or the vision for the year. I wanted to name the sermon Missio Dei, Mission Fun May, but then I realized that A, you're not all Afrikaans, and B, that's a joke, and the sermon is not a joke. So it might not be appropriate, but Missio Dei, gold, silver, or hay. Missio Dei is well-known universal word that speaks about the mission of God. God's mission on earth. And as we explore mission as what is our mission on earth, what should we do? It's worthwhile to start asking what is God's mission and then see how that links, because it links beautifully. So the Missio Dei, what is God's mission? I believe in Ephesians 1 verse 9 to 10. I wish there was a one Ephesians, because that means there was two Ephesians, and Ephesians is amazing. So if there was another one, it would have been great. But there's Ephesians 1 verse 9 and 10 makes God's mission clearer to us than I believe any other single scripture, and summarizes it so beautifully. I was studying it for so long this last week to find out and reading articles, and this is probably it. It's Paul saying, making known to us the mystery of his will. Wow. According to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. Here it comes. To unite all things in him. Things in heaven and things on earth. The mystery of his will, his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, is this: the plan for the fullness of time is to unite all things in him. That is God's mission. And just to take a quick walk through history to understand where we're at in terms of that, is that at first there was the creation, where God created with intent. There was intent to that creation that God had. And for the intent of the creation to be real enough, we had to have free choice. And inevitably we used our free choice against the created intention, and that led to the fall of man. So that's our part in history. And then we were separated from that which God wanted and intended, but inevitably had to set up in such a way that we could actually break it, otherwise it wouldn't be ever what he wanted it to be. And then he could come and redeem it. So after the fall, even after when God spoke the curse over Eve, he even referred to the fact that her offspring would trample the head of the serpent. So the plan for redemption was set in motion. And that redemption was completed through the virgin birth of Jesus, Jesus' life, Jesus' death, and Jesus' resurrection, it was finished. It is still finished. The redemption. From then on, we are in the season of restoration. We are in the season of applying the redemptive work of God until He comes back to restore all things back to Him where it was when He created it. That is His plan. So restoration, restoring all things back to God, is the mission of God. Now, you may very well ask, what does God's mission, what He's running around with? Because the Word of God says, until now my Father is working and even I am working. It's Jesus saying. Okay? What does God's mission have to do with me? Well, quite a lot. If we look at Scripture, let's first read 1 Corinthians 3 from 11 to 15, and then we'll explore that question a bit more. It says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day, the judgment day, the last day, the day comes back, the day that all things end and all things become new. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So there are works to be done. There are works that will stand into eternity and others that will not. Now, the clue to the whole sermon is very obvious right here. What stands into eternity? What lasts? What has got eternal value and what does not? So we can know even now what will be burnt and what will not be burnt. So there is a work for us to do that one day will end in a reward. And he's speaking about that scripture refers to Christians, those building on the foundation laid, which is Jesus Christ, those building on Jesus Christ, and those who have made it to heaven without walking away from Him. But some of us haven't walked in what we should have walked, and we're going to have a hard time. I don't know exactly how that's going to feel like, look like, or whatever, but I would rather not have that if I could just do what I were called to do and be received. The other danger in being in that place where we're not fully in the will of God. I had a great conversation with an atheist on the street the other day. We'll definitely have a Bryce sometime. And he told me that, well, he researched the word sin recently and found that its meaning is to miss the mark. Which I said, wow, that's amazing. That's actually right. You know, it's not a set of things that God lists that we do wrong. It's just missing the mark. It's just not doing what we're actually supposed to do. Not being who we're actually supposed to be. So, and when we sin, and we sin unrepentantly, and when we are saved, I'm speaking about saved people, and we sin and we're unrepentant, in other words, we miss the mark, we do whatever we want, the danger is very real that the only place where we can lose our salvation, if you may, is if we give way to sin, accept sin, and be unrepentant of it, and that will inevitably lead to a darkening of your eyes, your spiritual eyes, a hardening of your heart, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. And it will inevitably bring you to that place where you would say, I renounce Jesus Christ and the work He did. I don't want it. I don't believe in Him. Leave me alone. It's the only way you can run away is if you renounce Him. And that happens when we give way to sin so much that we become so deceived. So there's a danger in not walking in His will that is very real, that we do not want to fall into. But anyway, that's not really what I'm talking about tonight. Now, the question is, what work should we then do? What work should we do? There are works to do, good works, bad works. What should we do? We spoke about what is God's mission, and just look how beautifully this aligns. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Children imitate their parents. As beloved children, we are called to be imitators of God. Paul also says, I think to Timothy, he says, imitate me as I imitated Christ. So there's an imitation game going on, where we must do, we should be doing what God does, just as Jesus did. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. Jesus said, without Him, I cannot do anything. I just do what I see the Father do. And then He said to us, without me, you can do nothing. But with me, you can do anything. So it's the same as was with Jesus and God, with us and God. And because we are made in His image, our fulfillment is linked to becoming like Him and doing what He does. So very simply, the mission of God is our mission. Exactly the same. Exactly the same. We cannot have another one. That is the mission. That is the ultimate aim. I read a beautiful article, which I can send you on WhatsApp, by a guy called Timothy van Aarde, that studied missiology in the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to read you a small section of it, and then I'm going to read a scripture which links on to that. But he says that the task of the completion of the mission of God, the restoration of all things, has specifically been given to the church. The church is God's primary instrument for the summing up of all things and the filling or completion of all things. It is not the filling of the cosmos or the church that the author has in mind, but the completion of the plan of God in the fullness of the times. Mission is the task of the whole church involving all God's people through participation in the fulfillment or completion of God's purposes. It is the progressive realization of the Christian ecclesia, that is the church, through the inclusion of all ethne as a sign of the all-embracing cosmic unity. It is the progressive realization, in other words, more people get saved to the unity of the Christian ecclesia as we all come to the unity of the faith and get added to the church. And this includes every single tribe and tongue, every ethne, every ethnos, every nation on earth is included in the promises of God. And this is a sign of this all-embracing cosmic unity, which is just another word for what God is saying. He wants to restore all things to Himself, things on heaven and things in earth. That is God's mission, and God explicitly gives the mission to us. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21 says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. We, therefore, are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. God making His appeal through us. So we can conclude from this very simply that God is not busy doing anything else than this, and neither should we. Nothing else is really worthwhile. So the end of all pursuits, the end of all worthwhile pursuits should be and is the reconciliation of those it reaches or involves to its creator, to God. The salvation of the world. The salvation of everyone. That is it. That is the work that should be done. There are many callings, many jobs, many gifts, but only one ultimate aim. So when you're at work, we often feel that, you know, we should be here, and you know, God told us to develop this thing or develop this team or do this thing or do that thing. Or sometimes we don't feel that God has told us anything, but we think this is a nice idea because we need to work and we need to make money and we're good people anyway while we doing it. Or we feel we've got this calling from the Lord to make money, make a lot of money. We are blessed with insight and we'll be able to make a lot of money. But we often lack the end goal. We often lack an incredible zeal and drivenness and intentionality in what we actually called to focus on. And that is the salvation of everyone around us. That is the reconciliation of them back to God. Because otherwise it's vain pursuit. Now, that pursuit in itself can look like anything. It can look like you must work at this place. It can look like you must leave your job and only pray for a while. It can look like you're going into full-time ministry. It can look like you must design an app. That can be what God tells you to do when you go to God and say, God, how do I fit this? What is my role? So just to make it clear, I'm going to work through some notes here that is not on the slide. So we understand God's mission is the salvation of the world, and we understand that mission equates to being the mission of the church. Who is the church? I still hear people referring to us as the office or this as the church. It's even weird in saying, I'm going to come to church. Are we going to meet at church? I still say it. And it just testifies to us not really getting it. Although mentally we sometimes do. We're like, yeah, I know. But do we understand that you are the church? You and me, we are the church. That's what it is. Living stones. The building is made up out of living stones. You are the church. So then, whose calling is this? Your calling. And you're not only a member of the church, you are part of it as a member, yes. A member that has a specific function, yes. 1 Corinthians 12. But you're also an heir with Christ. The church belongs to Christ. It is his bride. And you are a co-heir with him, so you take ownership of it. So its mission is, theologically speaking, your personal mission. It's the only one you can have. It can look like a lot of things, because when the foot needs to take part in the mission, the job the foot will get is slightly different from the job the eye will get, or the hand, or the ear, or the whatever. But the eye and the ear and the foot all know that we're going to the same place. We are doing the same thing. We've got the end goal in mind. Otherwise, we are pulling in different directions. So, it is important and necessary for us to actually accept this mission and cast aside any other missions that we might have in our hearts. This mission to reconcile people back to God. We've been speaking about intimacy. We've been speaking about community, and these things work like a snowball almost, and it's almost like chicken and egg. You don't know which one comes first, but I can assure you that when you partner with God, when you start partnering with him on this, you think he loves you a lot, Now there's 3.5 billion people out there that haven't heard of him. So multiply the love he has for you with 3.5, and then you see the kind of love that he starts speaking to you about when you start engaging him on his mission. And then you say, yes, God, I know that you've planted me here at this specific job, and there's 1,000 people working here. And he says, okay, cool. Can I pour love for 1,000 people out into you so you can go and share that with them? And that is your blessing. And that is our blessing as we start partnering with him. He starts using us like that. And we start filling up those wells that we just want to have filled up sometimes for our own sake. But actually, it doesn't work like that. There needs to be a flow. It will skyrocket your intimacy with God. And it will necessitate community, because we cannot do it alone. And the more intimacy you get with God and the more fun you get out of community, the more you'd be like, what is everybody else missing out on? This is too great. So then chicken and egg and snowball, and there we go. Changing the world and having a great time while we do this. The other thing is that intimacy and community are eternal concepts. We will do them now, and we will do them in eternity. Spend time with God and time with each other. Lovely. Mission is not eternal. Mission has a deadline. Mission has a deadline, and it's when Jesus Christ comes back. So there isn't a lot of time. There is a real urgency to partner with him. If you treasure your salvation, think of 3.5 billion people that haven't heard the gospel. The other 3.5 are not all saved. They just might have heard it, it seems. Urgency. No one's God-given plan for their lives is not ultimately intended to see the lost saved. You can either be oblivious to this, not interested, or you can be scared to this. There was a word about us being scared of the things of God, scared to approach God, scared to surrender to God. Now I can just say out loud that those fears are ungrounded, because he's so good. Those fears might feel very real, and we would love to pray with you through that. But I can declare to you that they are ungrounded because of his love. We do not ask Jesus into our lives. We do not invite Jesus into our lives. Many people get called up to pray a prayer of salvation, and then they invite Jesus into their lives. Try finding that in the Bible. You can't. It's not in there. You don't invite Jesus into your life. Jesus invites you into his life. That's how it works. He says, you come and follow me. Leave what you have and follow me. That's the call. Not God, I've got this job, I've got this thing, I've got that thing. You can come in here, you know, and you tell God what you're gonna do, and say, well, you can use this if you want. No, let me just say, no. So when we go to God, when we got saved, and sometimes it happens much later, we surrender what we have, and we give God a blank canvas, and we say, God, we understand your mission. We understand that that is my mission, because I'm not preaching rocket science to you, just making it sound a bit more interesting, but you know this. This is why I am here. So from this point onwards, would you lead me in what you have called me to do, the part I need to play? and then you make your decisions. And then when God does not say anything, you still make the decisions based on the mission that is already given. Because when you see your son doing what you want him to do without you having to tell him that he must do that, you as a father get so excited because you see that your son is actually getting it. He's liking it. He's saying yes. And then you start bartering. Then you start pouring out your heart. He doesn't want slaves to which he must tell them what to do. And what if you don't get told what you do, then you kind of do whatever you want. He's waiting for us to be faithful like that. Now, this is not necessarily a call to evangelism. Are you still following me? This is not a call to evangelism necessarily. This is just a call to intentionally play your part and know that that will be the end of the matter. Someone responding to the gospel and understanding that you cannot afford to be ashamed of the gospel because you might be the one that has to share it. And also we need to understand there's a few things that we just, you know, cannot have in this church, but that old saying of I will preach the gospel and when necessary use words, you can try finding that in the Bible also. They always preach the gospel with words in the Bible. So don't run away from that. Yes, your life can show it to them, but if you've been working with them for 10 years and you've never thought to share it, then you might just be hiding behind some fear. Imagine how amazing it would be if someone were to testify on a Sunday, hey guys, I was fired because I shared the gospel with 5 people in my lunchtime and my manager told me if I do it again, he's going to give me a disciplinary, and I did it again. And then I had a hearing and then I was fired because I said I can unfortunately not disobey my God. So if you ask me to disobey my God, then you can throw me in jail, but I will not do that. But somehow we are conditioned to believe a slightly different gospel or theology in where the word of my manager is slightly more important than the word of God. And it is not. Because what will you do when they come to you and say, I will kill you if you do not stop sharing the gospel? All of a sudden, then something clicks and you're like, oh no, when they want to kill you, then you must continue sharing the gospel. But when they want to fire you, then you must stop sharing the gospel. You see the small deceptions that creep in as we live out our lives. So, you know, Scripture says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. So what inevitably would happen if your life does not ultimately, in your mind, revolve around the salvation of the world, it will revolve around yourself and what you want. If it's not ultimately about those around you, it's about you. And the word of God says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Nothing, 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 nothing out of selfish ambition. I want to further my career. I've got a career. I've got this. I've got that. That's wonderful. Actually, it isn't. If it's not received from God and you know what its end is. So, I want to read to you something that I wrote this morning, but the question is, what is your ultimate aim? And can you tonight just prophetically state that you align? Or you have to have incredible rebellion in your heart to say no. And if you do, then let me not say stuff from the pulpit. But you know, the word Christian was first given as a nickname. How do you get a nickname? It's usually behaviorally based. Or you get the same one as your brother or your father. But it's usually behaviorally based. You get a nickname because you are like that. You look like that. You walk like that. You run like that. You say things like that. You've got a nose like that. So the first Christians that were called Christians were given the nickname by unbelievers. Would you receive the same nickname today by those working around you, by those who lives life around you? As Pastor Sias used to say, if you would stand trial today for your faith, would you be found guilty? So this Missio Day should really lead our communion with God. It should really be what our fellowship with one another is geared towards. And for so many of us, it is. But if we don't prophetically preach this and declare this, then so often and easily we get entangled in pursuits that does not have that as an end. And your interaction with the world, this has to be the ultimate end. And in your macro and micro decision making, in those decisions that you make, in every decision that you make, I love, and I've said this so many times, once or twice a year, I put my whole life out. Where I stay, what I do, who I hang with, where I go, what I do for holidays, what's my approach with family, what da, 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 da. And I go to God and I align it all. I align it all. I'm like, yes, Lord, what are you saying about this thing? Can I wrestle with you on this? And if God doesn't say anything, then my goodness, I'm going to find it in Scripture. And then if I see anything in Scripture, then I will make this thing look like the will of God, and I'll drench it with His word, and I'll receive promises from Him. And then when I engage every single thing I do, I know that it's with purpose that I do it. I know why I'm doing this. I know why I'm having coffee with that guy. I know why I'm going to that place on holiday. I know why. It's all part of this plan that's working out inside of me. And it is God's plan, not mine. It is not my little plan that I received from God that I would become an actuary and have my own practice. That is God's plan for me. That is not God's plan for you. That might be part of it, but you're not saying the rest of it then. Or it might just be yours. So anyway, let me read you something I wrote in closing. Sometimes we are misinterpreting the thing God told us to do when we do not understand its end goal is the reconciliation of all things back to God, i.e. the salvation of all nations. Sometimes we do things with other good intentions, but not with God's ultimate intention before our eyes. Sometimes we do not hear God give a clear instruction and then continue with what we want to do, as if the mission has not been made clear to us in Scripture. Ultimately, all the above stated types of works end up not being gold or silver, but hay to be burned on the last day. Sometimes we are confused as to what we should be doing, not asking God the obvious question. God, what is my role to play as part of your church and our ultimate mandate to see all things reconciled back to you? God, what is my role to play as part of your church and our ultimate mandate to see all things reconciled back to you? People and their salvation and subsequent discipleship are to be the real Christian's only aim, as this is the perfect encapsulation of God's love. All activity, jobs, careers, visions, good deeds, even the way we rest and leisure are to be formed from the base understanding and acceptance of God's mission. We will find when we engage that this is not burdensome. We will find when we engage that this is not burdensome, but part of the very fulfillment of our joy and peace in Him. The exuberant bliss of experiencing the fullness of our created intention. Therefore, every second, every step, every cent must, with great urgency, be aligned to the grand Missio Dei, becoming all things to all men in order that some may be saved. If you would just prophetically want to say, God, can I just take this opportunity to once again or for the first time just really state that this is my mission also and that I accept your mission as my mission. The worship band can quickly come up. And if that's you and if that speaks to you and if you know, you need to respond to this. You can just, where you are, you can just do a very bold thing and stand up and say, yes, God, I need to state this right now. I need to stop these weird, funny other things that comes into perspective sometime. Just say, yes, God, let's align. This is the basics, God. And Jesus says to those of you standing, he wants to say this. He's saying that whoever loves his life loses it, but whoever hates his life in this world, whoever hates the life that this world has, whoever hates the life that this world has, will keep it for eternal life. Step one is we must die to our affection for the things of this world and say, no, that is not what I'm living for. And then Jesus says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. If you want to serve God, you must follow God. You can't serve God and not follow God. And Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me daily. Picking up a cross is a very deadly thing to do. That's what we call to do when we follow him. You cannot serve him if you're not following him. That's what it means to follow him. And then he says, where I am, where you that are standing, you need to know this, where Jesus says, where I am, there my servant will be also. Not, God, will you be where I am? No. Jesus says, when you follow me, you will be where I am. I lead. I say where we are, what we do, where we go. And there his servant will be where he is. And then beautifully he says, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. The Father will honor him. All of this, John 12, verse 25 to 26. Those of you that's got your eyes closed and think I'm just saying nice things that I've heard from the Lord, this is just beautifully in Scripture. It ends by saying, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty, all-powerful God, when he honors you, it is more than what you could ever have obtained for yourself in your own strivings. If he honors you, what you receive is just abundantly more than what you could ever imagine or come up with for yourself. So that dying is so worthwhile. And that following has got so much joy. And then the thriving comes in. There's a snowball starts rolling and you see that this makes a lot of sense. And is the fullness of life that I've been intended to live and was predestined to live. Yes, Father, you see every heart, Father. You see every one of us standing tonight just aligning again, just aligning back, just saying, I will not focus on other things, but I do understand that scripturally speaking, this is your purpose, God. That we must get as many people saved as possible, as many people to respond to your beautiful gospel as possible. I speak this into every one of our hearts, and I declare into every heart that you are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for in it is the power of salvation unto everyone who believes. Just sharing it is incredibly powerful. Heaven's power comes down that moment you share those very basic words that sounds like a little children's story. But heaven's power comes down with it. And it shakes. And it stirs. unto eternity. There's a prayer that I would like us to pray that just leads you into a conversation that you could have with the Lord that's on the second last slide. If we can just flight that. There's a prayer I want us to pray, and it's not in a formula. It's never in a formula. We never pray prayers just as a formula and expect something will happen afterwards. It doesn't work like that. We need to render our hearts. But this is to lead us into this. And I want to have us prophetically pray this together after I've read it and you know what it is. And then we're going to just spend some time in worship where you're just going to do this in your own words with God. And we're going to pray with you over there if there's anything that really bugs you with regards to this or really frightens you or really blocks you. But in essence, this is just a call to say yes. That prayer that I wrote goes, God, I accept and I state as my ultimate aim from today your mission to reconcile all things back to you. God, help me align my life to this and remove everything where I am wasting time with selfish activity or anything that has another ultimate purpose than your ultimate purpose, the purpose of your beautiful gospel. I need your Holy Spirit to help me in this daily. In Jesus' name, amen. The Holy Spirit is the Parakletos. He's the helper. If we just respond and say yes, then he comes alongside of us. And if we are sincere, then he helps us. And he says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do this. Everyone who wants to respond and accept this and then do business with God after that, let's read this out loud as a prophetic statement. In 1, 2, 3. God, I accept and state as my ultimate aim from today your mission to reconcile all things back to you. God, help me align my life to this and remove everything where I'm wasting time with selfish activity or anything that has another ultimate purpose than your ultimate purpose, the purpose of your beautiful gospel. I need your Holy Spirit to help me in this daily. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to just spend some time in worship. You can just sit or stand or lie on the floor and just reconcile this with your own heart and make that tie with God with regards to this and think through your life. Because there's some of you that needs to make decisions. There's some of you that needs to really count the cost, and there's some of you who really needs to let go of other visions that are not aligning, and you know before your soul that they've never aligned to this, and you need to repent of that. So do business with God, and if you have got an incredible fear or anxiety, or there's something really blocking you that's really hurting you, we would love to pray with you right here in the front towards my left. And as we worship, you're more than welcome to come out and we can pray. But the most important thing is that you sort this out between you and God. Let's do that. Amen.
No, what I say.